Cursed is the one who trusts in human beings. Why do we trust so much in people, only to be disappointed time and time again? Think about it. Your best friend who turned their back on you or stabbed you in the back or gossiped about you and disappointed you. As you grew up, at some point, your parents inevitably would disappoint you, even if it was only because our expectations of them were unrealistic. My dad is the strongest guy in the world, etc. Every time we go through life and we put our trust in people, we always get disappointed. Maybe it was our grandparents, and simply by their passing, we were devastated and disappointed. Why did you leave me? Or we get married, only to be disappointed in a profound way, and it even leads to our divorce. We trust in our kids as we get older, only for them to disappoint us, either as teenagers or as they get older, and not being around and available as we need them to be as we get older in age and dependent on others. Or we put our trust in clergy, only be disappointed because they're moved, reassigned, or disappoint us in some other way because of their shortcomings and failings. We constantly put our trust in people. And even though we get disappointed over and over again, we don't seem to stop. Cursed is the one who trusts in human beings. It's not a curse that God is putting on people who do it. It's a curse to do it. And we know that from experience. Maybe we trust in human beings because naturally growing up as a child, we have to trust in our parents. If it's not for them, we don't eat. We're not clothed. We're not taken care of. We can't thrive or live. So naturally, as human beings born to a family, we have to trust in order to live and survive. Trust what our parents tell us, what to do, what not to do, etc. Because we don't know enough as infants and children. But either way, life teaches us that those who trust in human beings ultimately do experience the curse of disappointment. And the prophet Jeremiah, from today's reading tells us, "Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord." When we put our trust in God first and above everyone else, by keeping his commands, living faithfully his law, loving him in response to his first loving us, everything changes. Now, it's true that we still need to depend on people, but when God is our first trust, our first hope, the foundation for which we do all things, then everything takes on a completely different context and understanding. So, for example, we might put our trust in friendships, but we know that ultimately our only true friend is Jesus. And so we know that friends will disappoint us because they are sinners and Jesus is not, because he is God and they are not. And so our friendships are tempered. They have a limit. We understand the faults and failings of those around us, and we're aware of it, and we're careful, and we're prudent. We only share completely and totally, openly, without reservation, our hearts with God alone in prayer. But to others, we're more prudent and careful. We know that they will never satisfy us as even our best friends, that only God alone could bring us satisfaction. When we trust in God first, when we marry because that person's going to bring us closer to Jesus. Not too many couples do that anymore, if at all. If someone chooses to marry because their trust is in God, not in the person they're going to marry, then they see this person as someone who will help them grow in holiness, who together will help each other get to heaven. That's why I marry. That's why I choose this vocation, because ultimately, as the vows of marriage say, it ends in death. And so when you or your spouse dies, then what? If that's all you live for, if that's the person you put your trust in, now they're gone. Now what do you do? Why are you living? What's the point of life? But when I choose to marry this person because they're going to lead me closer to Jesus, when they die, we have the sure and certain hope that we'll see them again in heaven. That they have helped us become holier and happier because of our marriage, and helped our children in the same, so that where Christ is, we all might be one day. When we put our trust in God instead of human beings, we aren't disappointed when a priest is reassigned, or a priest scandalizes us, or a bishop, or a pope, because our trust is in Jesus, not the pope, not the bishop, not your pastor. It's in Jesus. And we've read the Gospels, and we've read how the first pope denied Jesus 3 times openly and publicly, cursing all the while, and left him when he was arrested and dying on the cross. And yet, John, the beloved, remained an apostle, in spite of the leader, Peter, disappointing him. When we put our trust in Jesus, we can hear of bishops stealing and even committing suicide, and we still follow Jesus because we put our trust in him, not that bishop. I'm referring to Judas Iscariot, who John, in John's Gospel chapter 3, tells us was in charge of the money purse for the 12 apostles and Jesus, and who stole regularly from it, only to betray Jesus for money and ultimately commit suicide. While these things hurt us and sadden us, our faith doesn't change because it's in Jesus, not in the pope, the bishop, the priest, or religious sister. It's in Christ. And we know that people will always disappoint us at some point. Do we not even disappoint ourselves? Do we not disappoint ourselves in what we hope to do, aspire to do, dream to do, want to do, and always seem to fall short? Brothers and sisters, if Christ as priest is raised from the dead, how can some of you say there's no resurrection of the dead? Our hope in Jesus is because he has risen from the dead, and that's why we have relationships with others to help us get to heaven. If Christ has been raised from the dead, then we have the same hope. If he has not, then our hope is in vain. Yet here we are, still putting our trust in people rather than in God, in spite of the numerous times that we have been and continue to be disappointed. Our hope is in God. In him alone do we find rest. In him alone do we delight, and in his law. In him alone do we meditate upon. Not so the wicked, not so. They are like chaff which the wind drives away. For the Lord watches over the way of the just, but the way of the wicked vanishes. King David knew this. He himself disappointed God and his people profoundly when he committed adultery and murder. He knew the shortcomings of himself deeply and those of others. And so he put his trust in God. When we do that, when we live in that kind of way, our relationships change and are very different than how they are. And we experience what it means to be blessed of God's chosen people. In Luke's gospel today, this experience of putting our trust in God leads to a sense of blessedness that for Luke is very practical. In Matthew's gospel, he says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs." Luke simply says, "Blessed are you who are poor." Luke focuses on the practical and the poverty of others, maybe because he was a physician, a doctor, and he treated many people for free. He knew people's poverty of body because of illness and death, sicknesses he could or could not treat that ultimately would lead to our death for all of us. He saw poverty around him, even though he himself was probably well-to-do before he had his conversion and started following Jesus. Blessed are you who are poor, not poor in spirit, literally poor, because the only thing we have to cling to and trust in is God, not our money. Blessed are you who are now hungry, for you will be satisfied. Think of how many of you growing up grew up to an empty refrigerator, not knowing if you would eat the next day, not knowing what there would be for food, having to trust in your parents to provide and maybe being disappointed, going to school and not having enough money for lunch and scrounging to find something to take away the hunger pains. Blessed are you who are now hungry, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who are now weeping. This is unique to Luke. Matthew says, "Blessed are those who are mourning, for you will be comforted." Luke is more practical and specific. Blessed are you who are now weeping, for you will laugh. Think of the many times we have cried over disappointing ourselves or being disappointed by others. The day will come when you'll laugh in God's presence and know He has and never will or could disappoint us. If only we would not disappoint ourselves by being unfaithful to Him. When we put our trust in God instead of others, and people and ourselves disappoint us, our world is not rocked, it's not shattered, it's not destroyed. We don't lose our sense of self and our purpose because it is rooted in God alone, who only overwhelms us by His faithfulness and His love. When we live putting Him first by keeping His commands and forming relationships with others that help us get to heaven, then blessed are you when people hate you and exclude you and insult you and denounce your name on account of the Son of Man. And this is a key qualification. When people hate you and persecute you and exclude you because you're rude or you're nasty or you're uncharitable or you're an alcoholic or a drug addict or mean in some way, you are not blessed because of it. But when they do so because you choose to be faithful to Christ rather than what your boss asks you to do that you know is illegal or immoral, or rather than what your friends are doing because you refuse to do it with them because you know it's illegal or immoral, or even when your spouse tries to urge you to do something you know is contrary to his commands and you say no, well, then you know what it's like to be hated, to be excluded, to be insulted on account of the Son of Man. Luke tells us, or quoting Jesus, "Rejoice and leap for joy on that day. Behold, your reward will be great in heaven." At the end of the day, as a Christian, we choose to put our trust in God alone, because we know from experience, time and time again, that people will only disappoint. That's the curse of trusting in people. But when we trust in God, we experience what it is to be blessed, even in the hardships of life.